Yeah, so Caleb Williams, he could have spoken yesterday. He didn't, and that's okay. It's his prerogative. Channeling his inner Bobby Brown.
What you wanna do.
You can do what you want to do.
Tell me why.
That is Anthony Herron. Missing his American Idol moment, so he's decided to join us here in the studios in place.
You can't immediately tee me up to sing and think I'm not going
to
sing.
Oh, no. I wanted to see how far you would go with it, though, as we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I am Marshall Harris. That is the voice of Anthony Herron. This is Rahimi and Harris. Layla, she is not off today, but she is taking the show off because she'll be on our historic first radio broadcast of the sky tonight as they host the New York Liberty for their home opener, trying to draw to a 1-1 record. So in solidarity with one Layla Rahimi, I bust out the WNBA threads, the W, Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso.
There we go. Yep.
Courtney Vandersloot and thems. But the big topic today is going to be Bears and Ben Johnson stepping to the podium, even though Caleb Williams did not. And he had a lot to say, but let's go back to Caleb Williams. The story is this with him. Seth Wickersham writing a book, and from that book, we've got excerpts already. The book doesn't come out until September, the biography of a quarterback. But the news was that Caleb Williams didn't want to be a Chicago Bear, and then he decided he would be a Chicago Bear. But then he had moments in which things went horribly wrong in his rookie season, which led to a 10-game losing streak and a 5-12 record. A head coach in Matt Eberflus being fired for the first time in Bears history in season. Also, the offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, being fired, let go before him. And Thomas Brown left to try to handle it all, and Caleb Williams dealing with it. But now he's got a new head coach in Ben Johnson with a lot of new things to say. And Ant, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk about this issue. I think you're close to me, but not quite with me in that, hey, I think this is an issue because Caleb Williams can go ahead and put this thing to bed by addressing it. And really, it's not so much about what happened before the draft and the fact that he didn't want to play for the Bears at first, but it's more about the fact that we read about him watching film by himself and feeling lost and confused about what to do.
And, you studied journalism. Layla, there's a lot of folks at this station who are true journalists. I came by this more organically, and then I did end up in the Arena Football League, ran all the PR and content for the league for a handful of years also. So I've certainly got the on-job experience in dealing with some of these things. If there is a controversy, pseudo-crisis, when is it worth wading into those waters publicly? How aggressively or urgently do you step into it? My meter on that, I think, tends to be a little bit different than a lot of the collective media here in Chicago, because it's, I feel like the reaction to this, it's this Seth Wickersham story, which you guys, I was listening live, driving around, heard you and Layla discussing it last week. I think Ray did a fantastic job. I assume it was Ray, just got him immediately on the air with you guys too and just kind of made that happen, which I thought was just kind of incredibly urgent in its coverage. But then it's revelatory because it confirms a lot of what we knew. But a lot of this does come down to things that we knew that now we're kind of getting an on-the-record accounting from Caleb's dad about it. So there's a couple of levels to this where I do feel like it dissipates how urgent Caleb must be to run to the mic and address this thing. Because a lot of it is the majority of it is stuff his dad said to Seth Wickersham. Like 95% of it is just from Caleb's dad talking to Wickersham about things that happened a year ago. So the timeliness of it, because it's information that took place, occurrences that took place a year ago, and it's Caleb's dad talking about it, not Caleb, that to me dissipates the urgency for Caleb to hurry up and get to the mic to talk about this thing, because it's not new information, it's confirmational information on things that we were already aware of taking place. And now there is a new man in charge here. Ben Johnson is here running things. So Caleb will certainly address it, but I didn't find it that important for him to hurry up and get to the mic yesterday just because we only have so many things to talk about. And so this feels like something that we're going to address and discuss a lot on our end.
I think the point from our perspective was, hey, you're going to have to talk about it eventually. Why not just get it out of the way so we can focus on other things? I think that was the overall thing. And I don't think we were alone. You know who I think agrees with that? I think Ben Johnson agrees with that. You know why I think he does? Because he got to the podium and he immediately said, all right, let's address the elephant that's not particularly in the room right this second, but will be eventually.
it's come to my attention that the quarterback's been out in the media over the last week. And just to get out in front of that a little bit, I just wanted to say I wasn't here last year, and so I can't speak too much in terms of what it was like before he got here and when he got here last year. But from my 4 months on the job, he's been outstanding to work with, and we just are focusing on getting a little better every day.
What's your process of building the trust of Caleb and getting his full buy-in under your watch?
Yeah, it starts with developing a rapport and a trust, and that's earned over time. You don't walk in day one and expect that to be achieved. And so the more time we spend together, he understands that I have his best interests at heart, and vice versa. He's going to go out there and play as well as he possibly can, not just for himself or me, but for the whole team and the city. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So we're very much aligned in terms of what we want to get done, and it just takes more time on task in terms of getting on the same page with how we're going
to
do it.
Are there ways that you watch film with your quarterbacks that might be, does it vary from coach to coach? When you've got these four guys here, are there things that you're teaching them that they need to, you know, see the way that you see it? Is that a part of like this part of the time of the year? Is that part of the process of teaching them? Or
yeah, everyone's different. I've been around a number of coordinators, a number of quarterback coaches. And so I would say my style is kind of a combination of everything that I've been around and I've come to learn and love and appreciate. And so there's a process that I believe in, that we believe in as an offensive staff, that we're adhering to this springtime, and we're going to stay true to that, how we're going to develop that position in particular. And those guys are doing a great job working hard right now.
What do you think when you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die? Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. And so we're looking to write a new chapter here, 2025 Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the future.
So that was Ben Johnson talking about the story that's out there, acknowledging it, saying, hey, that was before I got here. I'm all good. I'm clean. Watch what we do. And I'm with that. And for all the people who are listening, the texters who are telling me it's a non-story, move on, I understand why you're saying that, but I'm not talking about the fact that he had those issues about deciding whether or not to be a Chicago Bear. I will be the first one to tell you, everything through his actions shows that he's happy in Chicago, Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. He's happy to be a Bear. He's certainly happier with his coaching presence than he was a year ago. The issue is the film stuff for me, mm-hmm. The film stuff specifically. But you had a very good point, Ant, in your belief on why maybe him not addressing that immediately might be a good thing, because has he even had the time to get to a place where he can discuss how he's watching film under Ben Johnson?
That's the thing. There are aspects of this that are our curiosity, I'll use the collective R, the collective we, is well-founded, because we do want to know what the development arc for Caleb Williams will look like under Ben Johnson, and how is Ben Johnson going about the process of actually developing this young quarterback, because we so recently and so repeatedly have seen the Bears fail to develop a young QB. But from Caleb Williams' perspective, he and Ben Johnson have only known each other a few weeks. They've only been working together a few weeks. So if Caleb were made available to the media yesterday, I'm sure he would have done a fantastic job, as he usually does, of eloquently talking about the situation at hand. But there's not really a lot of tangible on-the-job exchanges that have happened yet between he and Ben Johnson. So to kind of legitimately put it to bed, because we are very curious about it, him talking yesterday would have served to do that. But the more legit answer, because everyone's going to be really curious for how things have evolved, what Caleb is learning from Ben Johnson, what is this process they've gone through so far, and a month from now, when they've actually been on the practice field more frequently, in the meeting rooms together more frequently, he'll be able to give a more detailed accounting of what's actually taken place by then. So yeah, if we were made available yesterday, I think that he certainly could have given a perspective on, well, why did this come out now with the Wickersham book and everything else? But as far as what he's actually doing with Ben Johnson, hadn't been a whole lot of it yet. You know, after on the practice field and in the meeting room a little bit longer, if it's next week, next month, whenever we hear from Caleb, he'll have more detail that he can talk about in relation to what he and Ben Johnson have actually begun doing together by then.
again, OTAs this week, the install just starting for the Bears and their new offense, their new defense, whatever Richard Washington wants to change on special teams, all that stuff is going on. This segment brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Marshall Harris, along with Anthony Heron, who is in for Layla Rahimi here on Rahimi and Harris. Damn. And we're talking about really what Ben Johnson had to say and how he's coming across as he gets to know the Bears better and they get to know his style of coaching better. Some injury news and some other interesting notes. So Luther Burden III, the second round pick of the Bears, did not participate in OTAs because of a soft tissue injury. Concerning at all that, Ant? Is it too early to be concerned about anything, really?
Yeah, pretty much. That's where I tend to land on a lot of this in May with OTAs, the rookies, the vets, their first time. They're actually getting together on the field together for the first time. So there are things to be gleaned just in getting to know the Ben Johnson version of the Bears and getting a sense for who these rookies are and how they're going to begin to operate as pros. But nah, a soft tissue injury at this point in the offseason, I think it was kind of already something that Luther Burden maybe dealt with a little bit coming out of his college season also to some extent. So yeah, I don't have any concern about it yet. You know, we'll see if it lingers and how long it goes on, but I don't think it's worthy of any real concern yet.
Okay, so in that same breath, when you talk about first impressions and what you see and what you hear out of Hallis Hall for OTAs, we thought that at left tackle it would be Ozzie Tripillo because we had seen him with the first team at one point at left tackle, but now Kieran Amagaji yesterday is the guy. Now, this is helmets. This is also shorts, no pads. Mm-hmm. He's out there with the first team. Is there anything to take away from that?
You're normally going to start with the vet there unless you have some rookie you drafted in the top 10 who you're just going to anoint for that. You know, if this were the Bears' first-round pick, yeah, just push him in there at left tackle and let's watch him swim. But, you know, the guy that I was hoping the Bears were going to get at left tackle in the first round came off the board at the number 9 pick to the Saints, so he wasn't available. The Bears didn't go that direction. They went with the tight end in Colston Loveland. So if the Bears were in some multi-tight end sets and Loveland was healthy – and, you know, they had some other guy rotating through there. If it was, you know, Durham Smythe getting reps over Colston Loveland, then I'd have more concern about it. But the fact that Tripillo is getting the second team reps, they're dividing reps evenly with the ones and twos at this point anyway. So, no, I don't have a lot of concern over that.
And one of my things is looking at the timeline and where we are with this team, it's just so early. I know we talk about it because it's happening, we talk about it.
Right.
But it's so early, it's hard to take away much from what you see out there unless there's some major catastrophic injury or anything else. We're just trying to see how Ben Johnson and his players integrate with each other, how well he assimilates to Hallis Hall, how well the members and the staff, the players assimilate to his vision and what he wants to get done. And that's what this process is all about when you're talking about the summer, even though it doesn't look like summer outside.
One thing that really intrigues me with Ben Johnson is that he's been out there a lot. He's not shy about going and taking national media interviews. He talks locally. He addresses the media. He doesn't mind a little bit of back and forth with the beat reporters that are in the room there. They ask him a question. It gets a little smirk. He can, you know, kind of shoot the question back at them. They do it pretty effective. I think I heard him do it with Adam Hogue and with Brad Biggs a little bit yesterday when they got their chance to talk to Ben Johnson. There's some back and forth, some give and take. There's some comfort that Ben Johnson has in his own skin, in knowing what he doesn't know yet, and recognizing that there's a process he'll go through and kind of figuring this thing out. And that all, even though it's early, is easier at this point. I'll be watching closely just how does his demeanor evolve as they're in games or as we have things to really chide him about if something doesn't go well in a game. Then how does that demeanor kind of manifest itself publicly by then?
So we're looking at a situation right now where we're trying to figure out where Caleb Williams is because he is the focal point. If not him, then it's Ben Johnson. And you could argue that Ben Johnson is more important than Caleb Williams right this second because he's got to get his overall vision through to all the members of the roster, the coaching staff, and to make sure that that goes over well because, again, this is his first time as a head coach. We're going to let you hear some interesting sound. It is not new, but kind of gives a look into where Caleb Williams was last season.